We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's October 20th. It's 2021. We have 11 NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. It's really the first big NBA slate of the season. Joined by my good buddy, Genie for 07. Grant, what's happening, my friend?
Well, you know, just getting my tush kicked in NBA DFS. Had a bunch of Drew Holiday. Did not go well. I realized that, like, last second after the Claxton news, I'm like, I better add some of him in. Completely did my entire sheets and ended up with, like, 65% Drew Holiday for some reason just because of the way it messed around with things. So, yeah, but luckily Altuve just hit a home run, and that won me a few grand. So I'm actually up on the day. Thank you to baseball. NBA may crush me, but baseball doing pretty well.
If pool shows up a little bit, I might cash even with Drew Holiday in some single entry stuff that I played, because I played Bielitsa and he's low owned and he has 16 fantasy points at half. So if he matches his first half in the second half and pool just does anything, could be a salvageable opening day. But
good news is we got an 11 game slate.
We have a lot to talk about. We're going to jump right in because there's just so much to talk about. First big slate of the season. Rotations are so questionable this early in the year. Look at preseason a little bit. But I take it pretty light the first week because I want to see rotations. I don't trust preseason. So I say I take it light, but I mean, I'm going to play this slate like a normal slate because it's the first big one of the season. And anyway, we'll get started here. We got Indiana at Charlotte, 223.5 total, and Charlotte is a 2-point favorite. Holiday is questionable. Lamb is questionable. LeVert and Warren are out. And then the Charlotte team, from everything that I've read, they're good to go as far as injuries. Rozier and Bridges are both probable to play this game. Let's start with the Pacers. What's standing out to you here for Indiana?
I mean, we kind of need to know about the Holiday and Lamb news. If they're out, then I think there could potentially be some value in there, or maybe McConnell's in the starting lineup. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but if those guys both end up missing, there's definitely going to be some value with someone, whoever goes into the starting lineup, and a little bit more of an increase in usage to Brogdon's bonus, but Brogdon's kind of the guy that stands out to me. A little bit worried about a shoulder issue that he has, but he should be good to go. It sounds like he's good to go for this one. 7.5K, just a little bit too low of a price tag. Like, without LeVert in this lineup, the usage is all going to go to him and Sabonis. I don't mind Sabonis. It's not a terrible matchup going up against Charlotte, but the total in this game has already dropped 4 points since the open, so the money's definitely in on the under here. Turner's fine, but I think Brogdon's really the play, and then whatever guy ends up starting, if Holiday and Lamb are out, or if Holiday or Lamb are in, I think they're both, well, Lamb's potentially a decent salary saver here, but Brogdon's the guy.
So, I mean, it's the same front court this season for Charlotte as far as the starters, PJ Washington, Mason Plumlee. These guys gave up a ton of fantasy points last season. I think this is a spot Sabonis could just go absolute ham. He's expensive, but this could be a monster game for him. So he's definitely someone on my radar. I'm with you. I think Brogdon's usage is interesting. If Lamb or Holiday sit, I think Chris, is it Durant? Durant will end up starting at 3,300. I think he's someone that's could potentially, could potentially start and play 30 minutes at 3,300. We're going to have a few of these guys today. So I think he's someone that, you know, you kind of want to pay attention to. My biggest concern with the Pacers is the bench, but it should also offer, a ton of minutes for these starters. So let's talk about the Charlotte side of things. What do you like here for the Hornets?
I mean, Ball, 7,700. Like, obviously, was all up and down pretty much all last season, was crushing it for a little while, and then seemed to be hit or miss. I think this year you probably should take a little bit of a step here. Matchup versus Indy, not really a bad one. So Ball is definitely a guy that is very much in play. Miss should be more secure without Graham there. Rozier, he's probably going to play, it looks like. He's fine at 7,400. Hayward's fine at 7,500. Like, either one of them get it done. But Ball's kind of the play here. And then it'll be interesting seeing Plumlee in this offense, how many minutes he's going to end up getting. If he's going to possibly get 30 minutes, he can put up a pretty darn big outing in that time period. So 6K seems like a little bit of a low price tag for GPPs. I think he's definitely a guy that's in play. Washington, 6,900. I know that we saw him, like, kind of crushing that price tag for a little bit towards the end of the last season and then tailed off a little bit. Again, we don't know what these rotations are going to be. So Washington's fine, not great. I probably won't have much interest in him. But Plumlee and Melo are the guys that I think could be some decent GPP plays.
I love Melo. I think he's someone that is just going to crush here. He had a 33% usage rate, averaging 20 minutes per game in the preseason. With Graham gone, this is just, it's going to be Melo. He's going to have a monster assist rate. His usage rate is going to be extremely high. This is a guy that I give it 2 weeks in the season, he's going to be at least 9K. So I'm going to be playing him quite heavily the first couple weeks until the price catches up with the production. We saw monster games from him last season. I mean, Hayward, I'm always kind of iffy on, but I mean, I do think that if he gets his normal amount of minutes, he's interesting. But the pace or the Charlotte team is a really tough team to kind of look at preseason too. They sat a lot of guys in preseason. Not a lot of guys played a ton of minutes. Like Boaknight is a guy that like played a ton in the preseason. Like, I don't think you have to look at that. I think you look at Melo, you look at Rozier, and you look at Hayward, and you kind of move on here. I don't think you're wanting any of these role players or bench players from this offense. So, all right, Chicago at Detroit, 220 total. Chicago is a 4-point favorite. Brown's questionable, White's out. And then on the Detroit side, Cunningham is out, Livers is out, and Smith is out. We'll start with the Bulls. Way, way different look Chicago Bulls team going into the season. Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, and Vooch are the expected starting five. This is not your Chicago Bulls team you're used to. And I think the biggest hit here is Zach LaVine, potentially with his usage likely going down this season.
Yeah, I really don't know what to do with these Bulls here. I mean, I don't mind taking a shot on any of them, but I'm probably just staying away. I mean, LaVine, Vooch probably going to both take a little bit of a hit with their usage with DeRozan and Ball coming in there. Like, I just don't know what to do, and I'm probably just going to fade them. It's Magic versus Detroit. Yes, it's a 5-point spread, so probably should be fairly close or close-ish. Always a chance to blow out. Don't really have a chance to predict that too often, 5-point spreads. But yeah, like everyone's price seems a little bit higher than it should be. I mean, I know LaVine can put up a massive outing at any given time. He can just chuck the ball, but Lonzo and DeRozan are both going to eat into that. Vooch already ate into that a little bit last season. Vooch at 9K with how many guys that can score on this offense in there. I just think everyone's a little bit too high priced. It's not a bad matchup versus Detroit, but I just don't see any of these guys making value on an 11-game slate, or at least being worth taking a shot. I'm guessing one of them will make value, but trying to figure out which one is going to be tough here. So I'm likely to just kind of avoid all of these guys, at least early on. I don't think it's really worth taking too many shots on them, trying to figure out what's going to go on.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm taking shots, it's probably like Patrick Williams, 4,200. You know, potentially playing starters minutes here. And I low-key have a little bit of interest in Derek Jones at 3,300 because, I mean, who's really going to be the scorer off the bench for Chicago? I don't think it's going to be Caruso or Brown. I think there is opportunity for Derek Jones, even in like a 22-minute role, to average well over a fantasy point per minute.
Do you think that they'll stagger the rotations a little bit?
I think they're going to have to. But, I mean, Trying to predict where that's going to come from is I still think, like, six-man-wise, I think Jones is interesting this season. I don't know. We'll have to kind of see, but maybe I don't play him on this slate and just kind of see how this rotation kind of plays out. Let's talk Pistons here. I mean, Grant is 6,500.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy from this offense. I mean, Detroit in general is cheap. Stewart's cheap. Bay is cheap. Diallo's cheap. Hayes is cheap. Like, I don't know if what to even expect from this team, but I think Grant is someone you can play at 6,500.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy that I'd take a shot on. Obviously, he kind of dropped off towards the end of last season, but they weren't giving him a full allotment of minutes like they were earlier on the season. Early on the season, he was taking a bunch of shots. He was averaging like 25 real-life points a game. 6,500 is far too cheap of a price tag for him, and I think he's the guy with a safe role. I mean, with Olynyk in there, don't know how many minutes Stewart or Olynyk are going to end up getting. Like, Hayes in there, like, we don't know if Corey Joseph is going to eat into it a little bit, or Saben Lee. Bay, like, we know exactly what he is. He can get hot from behind the arc, and he can put up a big game, but I don't really think that you should expect that too much. Like, you're kind of hoping that he shoots 45-55% from beyond the arc in order for him to hit value at 6,400. But Grant, he's probably going to have a pretty massive usage rate. He's probably going to put up 15 to 25 shots. His price tag is not reflective of what he can do. He can get stocks. He can get boards. Like, Jeremy Grant is just too cheap at the 6.5K price tag. Everyone else, like, it's in flux and anything can happen. Well, I would take a shot on a smaller slate. On a bigger slate, Grant's the only guy that I really have a ton of interest in, and I have a lot of interest in him.
Yeah, I mean, Grant and Josh Jackson both averaged 28 minutes per game in the preseason. Like, that's fantastic. These guys are ramped up and ready to go. We potentially see 35 minutes from these guys in this game. So, ton of interest in Grant. I don't mind maybe Jackson as a large field tournament dart. Moving on, Boston at New York. 218.5 total. The Knicks, a 2-point favorite over the Celtics here. Brown's questionable and Horford's out, and Noel is doubtful on the other side of this game. Let's start here with Boston. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be Smart, Richardson, Brown, Tatum, Williams to start the season. It sounds like Williams has kind of earned that starting center spot for now. What are your thoughts on the Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends a little bit on if Brown ends up playing or not. That's obviously going to change the minutes around for everyone, going to change a lot of the usage. I mean, if Brown's out, then I think Tatum is definitely very much in play as a spend up. I think Smart's in play. Williams, yeah, he's probably going to get the starting job, and he's probably going to play a decent amount of minutes, but there's Cantor there that always has a chance to eat into things. So I don't know if I want to go with him. Richardson is who he is and probably going to play some defense, and he's probably going to shoot a few threes and probably not worth it for fantasy value. So it's kind of all dependent on Brown. If Brown's in there, I don't have a ton of interest in any of these guys. We don't know exactly what pace the Knicks are going to be playing at, but if they're anything like last year, they're going to be solid defensively and they're going to play at a slower pace. So I don't think this is going to be a terribly high scoring game and not very well, not very good for fantasy. So if Brown's in there, I'm probably just little bits and pieces of Tatum, Smart, Brown. If Brown's out, I'll definitely have some ownership in Tatum and Smart. Probably staying away from Williams and Cantor.
Do you think if Brown sits, they start Schroeder and play Smart at the two? I think Pritchard would be the other guy, unless they start Langford.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Schroeder at the two is probably the move. They'll just move Richardson to the – or Schroeder at the one, Smart at the two. They'll probably move Richardson to the three. But I don't know. Yeah, and it's tough. Like, you can kind of just wait. I mean, who knows? Maybe they go a little bit bigger and throw Hernan Gomez in there. It's too early to say. Like, we'll know when we get the starting lineup tomorrow. But, like, it's tough to say this early on. But even if Schroeder isn't there, I don't know if I really want to pay 5.9K for him in this matchup.
I mean, I have some interest in Robert Williams at 5.1K. I always like cheaper center plays, and Mitchell Robinson isn't the most talented defensive player. So, I mean, I definitely have a little of interest in Robert Williams. He's on the list anyway. And then, I mean, going to the Knicks side of things, I wouldn't say it's a new look Knicks team, but there's some people and pieces, and me and Meansy were talking about this on Friday. Kemba Walker and Barrett should get like a lot of the guard minutes outside of like Derrick Rose and Burks coming off the bench. But I mean, we had such a rotating point guard so much last season for the Knicks. Kemba Walker brings some stability here. What are your thoughts when you're looking at the Knicks here?
I mean, my problem is it's still like we thought Tibbs would do all sorts of things last season. Walker, if he is going to play 35 minutes, somewhere in that range, then yeah, he could be very valuable. And it's the first matchup going up against the Celtics, so I wouldn't mind playing Walker here. He's definitely a guy that stands out a little bit. I think Randall, with how much usage he had last year compared to what he might end up with this year with Kemba in there, with Fournier in there, it could change things around a little bit. So I'm not really expecting him to just be that point-per-minute monster that he was. Barrett.
Get out! Get out! Sorry, go ahead.
Basis ball, am I right?
Oh, Vasquez turned on one and it went, oh, warning track. Oh, sorry.
Oh, man.
I just screamed on the podcast and I don't even care because everyone here knows I'm a huge Red Sox fan. So, yeah, I hope I didn't wake my kids up.
I thought your kids got in the room. I'm like, that seems kind of harsh for yelling at your kids that way. yeah, Barrett. I don't know if I want to use him. Like, he's definitely going to drop in usage. Like, honestly, I don't know if there's anyone I want outside of taking a shot on Kemba. Like, Fournier at 6K, like, he can always end up 10 or 40. I'm not going to take a shot on that quickly. All his minutes are going to be into. I mean, I guess Robinson at 5.1K. Although, I guess there's a pretty decent chance he gets into foul trouble, but he still could end up with enough minutes. So I guess Walker and Robinson are fine GPP plays, but neither one of them are great.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Knicks, Kemba at 67, I think, is in play. Randall is always in play. The dude has a 70-point ceiling, and I don't mind Robinson. I don't mind either cheap center in this game. So Washington at Toronto, 218 total here. Toronto is a 2.5-point favorite. On the Washington side, Bryant is out. Hachimura is out. Winston's out. And then on the Toronto side, Boucher is questionable and Siakam is out. Let's start with Washington. I mean, I don't even know what to think here. Kyle Kuzma's 5.1K. Gafford should start at center in this game. Harrell. If there's ever an opportunity for Harrell to like join that like six man strong role again, being on the Washington Wizards might do that. But I don't know what to think here for Washington, but I mean, it's not like this Toronto team is that same Toronto team we've known for so long where they're so good defensively. This is a way different Toronto offense.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, at least for opening night, it's going to be an entirely different offense outside of VanVleet and OG. I guess Boucher's in there too. But yeah, it's super interesting with Washington. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to try and run at the same pace as they did before. Like, the lower total in this game of 218 kind of concerns me. Beal, is he going to be ridiculous right now? Or is Kuzma and Dinwiddie going to eat into his usage quite a bit? Like, it's just an interesting situation, but I'm definitely taking some shots. I mentioned Montrezl Harrell. Like, he's 3.7K. Like, he played 18 minutes in the preseason. I don't want to give too much credence to that, but it's not like they have a ton of other things going for him. I think Harrell is definitely an interesting guy and definitely a guy they'll use in tournaments a decent amount. But I'll take shots on Beal, Kuzma, Dinwiddie. I think Beal, like, I think he's got to be one of the better plays on the slate. Am I wrong there?
Who, Beal?
Yeah.
I think ceiling-wise, usage-wise, all that stuff, I think he's someone that's got to be considered here. I think both guards in this game. We'll talk about VanVleet when we get there. But I think Beal is in a good spot. The rest of the team, I think, is all question marks. But, I mean, Kuzma at 5.1K, Gafford, Harrell, I think you could take shots on these guys in tournaments. But I kind of want to see what the starting lineup looks like for Washington. And then I kind of want to kind of look at, like, projections and projected ownership for Washington. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to look at projections tomorrow for them.
Well, you should. Not to be a company man, but the RotoGrinders NBA projection team is fantastic. Toronto Raptors, VanVleet, right? Like, I know he's 7.5K, but do you see a world and he doesn't get like 30% usage with this offense now?
No, it's all about, is he going to end up shooting terribly? Which, more than likely, no. VanVleet is one of the top point per dollar plays on the slate. Without Siakam in there, without Lowry in there, like, absolutely fantastic play. OG at 6.1K seems a little bit underpriced and seems like a decent way to pivot off the chalk. Boucher, like, if he ends up missing, then, like, that just kind of adds some more usage to OG and VanVleet. Like, I guess there's always a chance that Flynn and Trent Jones or Trent Jr. Both end up doing something. Like, Dragic could come in and do something, but I just got to assume that VanVleet's going to do a ton here and just take a boatload of shots in this game going up against Washington. Like, VanVleet's a fantastic play on the slate, but if you want to take shots on Trent, Dragic, Flynn, or OG, I'm not going to argue with any of them.
Yeah, I mean, if Boucher sits, Precious is probably one of the best value plays on the slate.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's super cheap. He's going to get minutes. Yeah, you're probably right.
So we'll have to see how that plays out. But, I mean, definitely pay attention to that one. If Boucher plays, I like him a lot, for what it's worth. Moving on, we got Cleveland at Memphis. 216 total in this game. Memphis, a 7.5-point favorite. On the Cleveland side, Wade is doubtful, and Windler is out. And then on Memphis, Brooks is out. Let's start with the Cleveland side of things. I mean, what are we looking at here, you think, for like a starting lineup? Do you think Mobley starts? I assume Allen starts. Markkanen and Love maybe off the bench. What are you thinking here for Cleveland?
I have no idea.
I mean,
like,
this is one of the biggest question marks for me too, for what it's worth.
Yeah, no, it'll definitely be interesting. And, like, I don't know, I could see them starting Love at the four. I mean, the only thing we know is Sexton, Garland, Okoro, and Allen are gonna start. Like, the four is the interesting part, like Markkanen or Love. I don't know how much usage they'll need off the bench. I don't know how they're going to stagger the rotations. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but I'm probably, unless we get news that like Love is starting, then I'm probably just going to full on just fade him, maybe take a shot on Love regardless. I just, all the prices are probably higher than they should be. You're not getting upside with anyone outside of Love, especially if Love doesn't end up starting. I don't know how many minutes anyone's going to end up getting outside of probably Sexton, Garland. Like, the guards are the only guys with secure minutes, but everyone else, who knows? Who knows what they're going to end up doing? So I can't see playing anyone but Love in the spot.
I mean, Sexton's going to have a pretty big usage rate. If Mobley starts, I think he's a little interesting. Allen, I mean, just there's so many minutes. Like, people, guys fighting for minutes in this front court. So, I mean, I definitely want to see how these rotations play out. I mean, Sexton is somewhat interesting for tournaments. He had a monster usage rate in the preseason and had a good minute point per minute thing. So, the Memphis side of things, Morant, Melton, Bain, Jackson, Adams would be my assumption as far as, like, the starting five. Valanciunas gone. What do you like here from Memphis?
I like Morant, but he's expensive. I really like Triple J. 5.9K, obviously. He didn't do a ton last year, but he was injured most of the year, and then he finally started to see a decent amount of minutes towards the end of the season. We could see him play a full allotment of minutes here. 5.9K just seems like too cheap of a price tag. Without Valanciunas in there, that definitely adds a little bit more to Triple J. Like, I don't think Adams is really at the point in his career where he's going to take away a whole bunch of fantasy points for him. So I think this offense without Brooks in there, like, is going to be predominantly Morant and Triple J. I mean, they just gave Triple J a giant extension. So those are the guys. Morant's price tag worries me a little bit. It seems like it's a little high, but Triple J seems like it's too cheap at 5.9K. So I think he's a great GPP play on the slate.
Yeah, he's a guy that I had written down too. Again, like you said, they just signed him to a big extension. They're very excited about Triple J. So I like him. I mean, Morant is always someone that has, you know, some upside, but I think Jackson, and you take the savings and maybe play him. I mean, if Bain and Melton are going to start, they're both like in the 3Ks. So, I mean, I don't think they're great plays, but I mean, we're always kind of looking for some value. I mean, there's so much value to go around on this slate, though. So I don't know if you're looking at value too much on this one. So
I have a feeling there's going to be something that pops up an hour before lock, even though we haven't played in months. That's going to be like, you got to play this guy.
Yeah. Houston at Minnesota, 227.5 total in this game. Minnesota is a 5.5-point favorite. House is questionable. Matthews is out. On the Minnesota side, Beverly's out. Noel and McLaughlin are questionable. Let's start with Houston. What are you looking at here for the Rockets?
Christian Wood's a fantastic play. Like, he's got a crush here, right?
I mean, I think him and Kevin Porter Jr. are the only two guys that I have any kind of interest in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, if they decide to go with Martin in the starting lineup, I could see potentially using him. More than likely, I mean, it should be Tice. So like, no one else is really going to do a ton. Like, Wood and Porter are going to eat up all the usage. Porter's price tag seems like it's high enough where you don't really have to use him, and he's not really a great play. But Wood, with his usage, effectively getting boards, like, exactly what he does, it's just too low right now. Like, this price tag is just far too low. Christian Wood's a fantastic play on the slate. Porter, solid play. Martin, if he's in the starting lineup, I could see using. But outside of that, I don't really have any interest in anyone.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Porter Jr., Wood, maybe just on Tate, but I really just kind of look at those two guys. Jalen Green might start here. He's kind of cheap. But again, I think we're going to have plenty of good value plays on the slate. Minnesota side of things, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, McDaniels, Okogie, Cat, I mean, looks like it's going to be the starting five kind of going into the season. What are your thoughts here on the Timberwolves?
I mean, they're all in play. Like, we don't know what Edwards is going to be like in the second season. Obviously, he was putting up some pretty decent games, not shooting the ball well even. So, like, they all kind of have upside. They're all tournament shots. They're all guys you can throw on a game stack, bringing back if you're playing Wood and Porter or Wood or Porter. Cat, obviously, big ceilings, price tag's probably where it should be. But with all these guys that like to shoot, it's going to be a little bit like, because we didn't see a ton of Russell for a lot of the season. He was obviously missed a decent amount. And then towards the end of the season, they were kind of off and on with his minutes. Beasley being back should end up eating into some of the usage. It's just a good matchup, though, going up against Houston. There's a high total. The spread is fairly small. So I'm just going to kind of mix and match these three guys. If I'm going to pick my favorite, it's probably Edwards at 7,100 just because of that price tag. But any one of these guys are in play. None of them stand out as great plays. They're mostly game stack pieces for me.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of expect this game to be sloppy good. That makes sense. I don't think there's going to be a ton of defense played in this game. So I do have interest in like a game stack here. So definitely a game that I have kind of circled here for like a potential game stack tournament wise. 76ers and Pelicans in the next one here, 226.5 total. Philly is a 3-point favorite. Milton, Riller, and Simmons are out. And then on the Pelican side, obviously we know no Zion to start the season, which is kind of big news. Let's start here with the 76ers. Grant, am I crazy for just thinking that like Embiid is going to be on a mission in this game and just comes out and he's like, hey, I'm still here and I'm going to crush and I'm going to show you that I'm going to crush?
Yeah, no, he's going to crush.
Like he, I just feel like he's going to be on a mission for this game.
Yeah, I mean, we always knew last year with Simmons out that Harris and Embiid were good plays. It's not going to be any different now. I mean, like, that's just what it's going to be. The interesting thing, Maxey's going to be in the starting rotation.
I think Maxey starts at the two and Green starts at the three. Curry probably starts at the one.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, Max is definitely interesting at 4K. Yeah. But I think this is Embiid and Harris. Like, both these guys should get an increase in usage this year. Like, obviously, Embiid can put up a 75-point outing. He's going up against the Pelicans. Valanciunas isn't a terrible matchup. Like, you know, having Zion in there is definitely an upgrade to Embiid. This is probably going to be a fairly high scoring game. The total sitting at 226.5 in some sports books. Embiid, absolute smash spot. It's going to be trying to figure out to take him or Lillard, I'm guessing, as your spend up on the slate. And I think I've slightly leaned towards Embiid just without Simmons in there. So yeah, should be a fun game. And I think Embiid crushes here, but Harris, Maxey, both very viable options.
I think Maxey starts at the one. I'm sorry, I think Curry starts at the two. But I think Maxey at 4K is one of the better value plays on the slate. So, right there with you. The Pelican side, I mean, Marshall probably starts with no Zion. Valanciunas, Ingram, Nall, and Graham. What are your thoughts here on the Pelicans?
I think Graham's interesting at 5,700. Like, who knows exactly what this offense is going to look like, but I assume that Graham's going to play a boatload of minutes and probably be pretty heavily involved. So his price tag of 5.7K just seems a little bit too low. Valanciunas, always interesting. Don't know how many minutes he's going to end up getting. We could see him play a bunch. We could see him play not too many. I never know. It's always a crapshoot with him, but he's definitely fine. Ingram at 7.7K, I think, is an interesting play here. He could obviously have a big game, but Graham's kind of the guy that I'm looking at. And Nas, probably a little high price for me to take a shot on him. So I'm like very interested in Graham and then a little bit interested in Ingram and Valanciunas.
Yeah, for me, when I'm looking at the Pelicans here, I have a ton of interest in Graham. A lot of interest in Ingram. And I mean, I think I even have like some slight interest in Valanciunas. So, I mean, this is a game where I know I'm going to play Embiid. So I definitely want to, you know, run it back. And I think Graham is going to be the guy that I end up running it back the most. So, my Orlando Magic at the San Antonio Spurs. It's a 212.5 total, the lowest total that we have on the slate. San Antonio is a 6-point favorite. For the Magic, Michael Carter Williams, Fultz, Isaac are out. There, I think there was somebody else I'm missing.
Okiki, MCW, Fultz.
Okiki.
Isaac Moore.
Okiki's out. That was the other one. And then on the Spurs, Collins is out. I don't think it really matters. The Magic, I don't even know what to think here. I think it's going to be Anthony. Suggs probably starts. Harris, Mobamba, and Wendell Carter Jr., if I had to guess. They love using Ross off the bench, so I don't think he starts. I don't know. Yeah. This is going to be a team that probably has the least amount of players on opening night, like on the bench. I don't know what to do with the Magic here. This is full tank mode season for both of these teams. Well, maybe Magic more than the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I think Suggs is interesting at 4K. That's kind of it.
I don't even I look at this spot and I'm like, I think the guy that has the highest ceiling is Mo Bamba, ceiling wise. I think Suggs at 4K is interesting as far as like value goes, but I think Mo Bamba, if he can stay out of foul trouble, he could crush in this spot. So that's all I kind of got here as far as the Magic is concerned. Let's talk about the Spurs. A different look Spurs team. Murray, White, Johnson, McDermott, Poeltl. What are we thinking here for the Spurs?
DeJounte Murray is definitely interesting at 6.8K. With that DeRozan in there, I think he could take on a little bit of a bigger role this year and always has potential upside. I just don't know what they're going to end up doing. Like, I don't know. Like, everyone's kind of priced where they should be. Obviously, Keldon Johnson could put up a massive outing at any given time. He can also more than likely put up 20 points in the rest of the outings here. And so he's priced kind of not for his upside, but for his potential downside. White, like, obviously could put up a pretty decent game. But I just, like, on a smaller slate, like I said, I'd probably take a little bit of the volatility here with one of these guys potentially going for a big game. But I don't know if I'm real interested in anyone here. Like, maybe Poeltl at 5K?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's definitely interesting. He can put up a big outing. He's going to get 30-plus minutes. But it'll be interesting to see what they actually do. Like, the Spurs look terrible. Like, I know Pop is good, but the Spurs look absolutely horrible.
I think Poeltl's in play, and I think Johnson is kind of cheap at 5,100. But overall, this game has the lowest total on the slate. This is not a game that we're going to be targeting a lot. We got the Thunder and the Jazz, 220.5 total here. The Jazz, they're a 12-point favorite. Rudy Gay's out. That's really the only injury news from this game. I mean, is there anything on the Thunder that piques your interest at all?
No. Like, SGA is fine, but no. Just nothing seems worth it.
I mean, we'll play. I feel like we'll play SGA and maybe, like, Dort and Roby in, like, spots, but this isn't one of them. Like, the Jazz should crush the Thunder in this game. And I this is just one of those games I've kind of crossed off. Even on the Jazz side of things, like, Mitchell and Gobert should crush, but I don't know if they crush enough to pay off these price tags, because I don't know if they get enough fourth quarter minutes to pay off these price tags.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the main thing. Like, OKC's not good. They have a high implied team total, but not really expecting this game to be remotely close here. So, like, yeah, if you want to take a shot on Gobert or Mitchell, that's fine, but you're better off going elsewhere. Even if this game is close, like, decent chance it blows out. But if this game stays close, I don't see either of these guys putting up a gotta-have-it score here. So, I like, this game's pretty much a full-on fade for me.
Yep. Unless a lot of news comes out in this game, it's just not a game that I'm going to be looking at. I can't say the same for this next game. Probably the game that I'm most excited for on the slate. Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns. I think it's 223.5. And Phoenix is a 6-point favorite. Murray's out and Sarge is out. Let's start here with Denver, as the Red Sox just absolutely fall apart in the ninth. And I am extremely tilted because the umpire did not call a third strike that he should have. Let's go Denver first. What are your thoughts here on the Nugs?
Jokic, Porter, like both of them should end up with a pretty big night here. Like this game is going to be a good one. It should be fairly close. It's got a decently high total. Murray's not in there. We obviously know what Jokic and Porter can do. Porter's a little bit too cheap at 6,400. Jokic is who he is. Just trying to figure out if I'd rather pay for him or Embiid or Lillard. I think I'm more on Embiid than I am Jokic, but I'm not going to argue with it at all. So, like, I mean, Phoenix isn't really a great matchup. They're not. They play pretty decent defense, and they don't play a huge pace. I thought you were going to be more excited about the next game we're talking about, but
well, we're going to talk about that game too. Like, you got plenty of late night hammers sitting here, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, do you have any interest in anyone besides Porter and Jokic?
I mean, I have a ton of interest in Michael Porter Jr. And I hate playing Jokic, but I really like this spot for him.
You haven't gotten over that since last year?
I hate playing Jokic. I don't hate playing Jokic as much as I used to, but I never get this guy right. So I might just like change tides. I changed tides on Joey Votto this season, and I think I could turn the tide on Jokic too, but ton of interest in Michael Porter Jr. 6,400, no Murray. I mean, I feel like he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and so is Jokic. So ton of interest in both of those guys. Maybe I take a few shots on Monte Morris, but probably not. I really think it's going to be Porter and Jokic. And on the Suns side of things, Devin Booker is probably $1,000 too cheap at 8,200. Massive ceiling for him. I love Booker and running like back with like Porter or Jokic or both. What are your thoughts on the Suns?
Yeah, Booker's definitely too cheap. I think Paul and Ayton and Crowder and Bridges are all priced about how they should be, but Booker's just far too cheap at 8,200. I mean, this could be a big scoring game. It's a solid matchup going up against Denver. Should be high scoring. It's got a pretty high total. So Booker is kind of who I'd want to play, but everyone else, like, unless Ayton makes a bit of a leap this season, he's priced where he should be at 7K. Chris Paul, Bridges, I guess, at 5K gives you a little bit of a ceiling, but that's kind of it. And it's big enough slate where I'd rather take shots on other spots. So it's really just Booker.
All right. We finish it out with Sacramento at Portland. 232.5 total. Portland a 5-point favorite in this game. Projects is one of the best, if not the best, games on the slate. Let's start with the Kings. I mean, I expect it to be Holmes over Thompson at center. What are your thoughts here on the Kings?
Yeah, I mean, regardless, I don't know if I can't trust the minutes on either of them. So I'm probably staying away from the center position. Bagley doesn't look like he's going to be heavily involved in the rotation, so don't really want to go with him. That kind of leaves Halliburton, Fox. Like, Barnes is fine, but I don't know if I want to pay 7.4K for Barnes this early on this season. Buddy's probably going to be coming off the bench, and he can put up a decent outing, but you're just expecting so much from shooting here. Where at 7K, I think you're fine taking a shot on him, but it's mostly in a game stack, hoping games this close and gets run at the end of the fourth quarter. But Fox and Halliburton, like, Fox can put up a massive outing in this type of spot here. It's obviously a good matchup. Halliburton, second year, probably in the starting rotation, should play a boatload of minutes, should get a lot of usage. Seems too cheap at 7K. Both those guys, it's Fox, it's the guards, really. The guards should crush here, and they should get a boatload of minutes, and this game should be very high scoring. Pretty sure it has the highest total on the slate, if I remember correctly. I'm double-checking here. Yeah, 232, and it started off at 230. Should be close. Fox and Halliburton are fantastic plays.
I like Halliburton a lot. I like Fox a lot as well. I like just the price of Halliburton. I wish Barnes was cheaper. I think Holmes is another guy you could potentially play here, but I mean, I think Fox is the play. And then on the Portland side of things, Lillard is super expensive. I mean, you obviously you can take shots on him anytime that you want. I have a lot of interest in CJ McCollum. I mean, McCollum has that like 50-point ceiling as well. And when he's hot and has these games, he's going to put up 20 shots in this game. If he's hitting shots early, I mean, I think he's someone you could potentially look at 7,200. It's kind of like that Devin Booker thing. Like maybe McCollum's $1,000 too cheap too. What are your thoughts here on Portland?
I mean, I like all their big three, Lillard, McCollum, and Nurk. Like Nurk is sitting at 7K. He obviously has 50-point upside. He can absolutely get it done. Matchup versus Sacramento, a fast-paced team, really not great versus bigs. Nurkic could end up with a pretty solid overall spot. I don't think Zeller's going to eat into his minutes too much. So I know it's early on in the season. They may not want to overdo things, but I still expect him to probably play a decent amount of minutes. I would expect 30-plus. So Nurk, I think, is definitely a guy that you can look at too. But Lillard, even at this price tag, just the pace, the potential pace of this game and the high total here. I mean, Lillard in any spot can put up 70. I don't think he's going to be too highly owned, but like this is a perfect game stack. I think you stack up the guards over on Sacramento and bring it back with Lillard and McCollum and Nurkic. And it's just that simple. We know that a lot of this offense is going to run through those three guys, and any one of them have a big ceiling on any given night. I don't know if I play Lillard or McCollum together, but I think you can definitely play one of them in the stack and bring Nurk in there too.
Yeah, I usually try to limit my exposure to those two. I mean, I'm not saying that it never works, but I feel like it works less than
they're definitely negatively correlated.
Oh yeah. Like on a long-term basis, I would say for sure. All right, let's play the morning grind game and then we'll get out of here. Give me your favorite play under 5K to go 7X.
Gosh, I should have written this down to there. There were so many people so that many we talked about. Today. And now I'm literally just sitting here. I'm just going to go with Maxey. Like, I know that we've talked about, like, six different guys.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many. Maxey was the guy that I had written down. So hold on one second.
Oh, you can take Maxey. I'll take Harrell.
All right, there we go. I like Harrell too, so I like that call. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
I'll go with LaVine.
Yeah, I like that one. I'm gonna go Donovan Mitchell. I think Utah just crushes the Thunder here, and we just don't see a lot of fourth quarter minutes. Who's your favorite 6X play today?
I'm gonna go with Christian Wood.
I like that. I mean, we started off the show talking about LaMelo Ball, and I think the ceiling for this kid is just massive with Graham gone. So I'm going to go LaMelo Ball as my favorite 6X play today. Give me your Let's Get Weird GPP play of the day.
Is Triple J weird?
I mean, it is an 11-game slate. I think he's going to project well, so maybe he's not weird, but I think if you want to call it, go for it.
I mean, I'm scrolling down and I'm trying to figure out another weird play, and it's so many players that I don't know what's weird really. So I guess I'll go with Triple J.
I like it. I'm gonna go Mo Bamba as my Let's Get Weird GPP play today.
I like it.
Again, I think the Magic are in full tank mode, but Mo Bamba has a big ceiling. So if he gets the minutes and he stays out of foul trouble, this is a dude that can put up like a 4-8 block game. So we know the ceiling there. This is a tough question. I'm adding this question for now. I might change it. Give me a chalky play that you're okay with being overweight on. And this is tough on an 11-game slate this early in the season. That's why I'm kind of iffy on this question. Is there anybody that you think is going to be chalky that you're okay with?
Jeremy Grant. I don't know if he'd be chalky, though.
Yeah, see, mine was Van Vliet. I think Van Vliet's going to be chalky. That's at 7,500, and I'm perfectly okay being overweight on him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess LaMelo would be my guess to be chalky. I don't know. It's just so tough this early on the season. We don't know what projection systems are going to look like. We don't know what minutes they're going to project for people. It'll be more interesting tomorrow. I mean, I guess I could say De'Aaron Fox, I would guess, would be chalky, or Haliburton.
Haliburton's a good one.
All right, I'll go with Haliburton.
All right, we'll go Haliburton and Van Vliet for the first time. So Give me a bet that you like here. Anything standing out to you here?
Over 227 for the Houston game. I think you still get it 227 over on MGM and DK, but we'll see where that's at in the morning.
All right. Yeah, I like that one. That's a good one, 227. I mean, I think I have to – I think this game is going to be close. Give me Denver plus six. I don't mind Denver plus six. I wonder – I haven't looked. I wonder if there's, like, some places you can get 6.5. Watch that line. I always like the half a point in NBA. Do you like the half a point in NBA? I know we like half a point in any sport, but, I mean, I always like the half a point in NBA.
Yeah, which place did you say?
I don't know. I wrote it down earlier today.
Denver still every place is at 6.
Yeah.
But so, slowly moving towards Phoenix, so it might be 6.5 in the morning.
Yeah, let's get it. All right, we're going to get out of here. Hopefully that helps. Again, make sure you're paying attention to news. We're a first look podcast, especially for NBA. There's so much news throughout the day, so be paying attention to that. Grant, any final thoughts?
Nope, I'm just happy NBA is back and happy I survived Vegas.
All right, that's going to wrap it up here. For Wednesday, I'm going to go tilt the Red Sox and not go to sleep now. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you guys again on Thursday.
Hey, kids.